WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The number of homeless children and adults in the Valley is up. Meanwhile, Virginians are giving less to charity than a few years ago. And the House passed a budget. Now it's the Senate's turn. But will Medicaid expansion be part of the bargain for Virginians? This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May 15th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The number of homeless children and adults in the Valley is up. The Daily News Record reports the increase is based on a one-night survey in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County by the Western Virginia Continuum of Care. The group says 9% more people were homeless last January over January 2017. That means a dozen more adults and three more children were living in shelters, and that's despite local efforts to alleviate the problem. Virginia lawmakers are trying to finalize the state budget before the June 30th deadline. A month ago, the House of Delegates passed a budget that includes Medicaid expansion. Well, now it's the Senate's turn, as Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Members of the Senate Finance Committee met Monday. Many seemed to be wrapping their heads around the possibility of Medicaid expansion. But Senator Tommy Norment began the meeting with a warning not to read too much into the senator's questions.
That should not be a telegraphed, and do not speculate that anyone is flipping their position or weakening.
For weeks, a dedicated group of Medicaid supporters have kept vigil outside Norment's Williamsburg office. The Republican leader has stood firmly against expanding the state-run health insurance program. Marilyn Karp says activists like her will continue to put pressure on Norment and other Senate Republicans until they act.
We are quite put off, to say it politely, that they have done absolutely nothing.
The Senate Finance Committee will continue to meet this week. The full Senate won't convene again until early next week. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Norment also says it's unlikely that Virginia's government will shut down over the issue of Medicaid, but he did not specify how legislators will bridge the gap between supporters and opponents. Virginians are giving less to charity than a few years ago. The state's tax commissioner reports that 2016 giving to nonprofits was up slightly over 2015, but charitable giving declined every year from 2010 to 2015. Officials say that may be because Virginia began allowing taxpayers to use tax refunds to make contributions to college savings plans in 2014. Want to survey 400 years of Virginia history? Well, there's an app for that. The new Virginia History Trails app offers history around 20 themed trails and 400 detailed site descriptions. The app also has a GPS feature to help users find nearby historical sites. The app can be downloaded from the American Evolution website. Numerous books have been written about Confederate General Stonewall Jackson, but almost nothing has been written about the slaves that he and his family owned. Jesse Nadler reports on new research at Jackson's home in Lexington that now sheds light on the lives of these six individuals.
It's amazing. Here in the house.
Grace Abley is the site director of the Stonewall Jackson House. She carefully opens an old faded recipe book from around 1870. It was written in elegant script by Anna Jackson, Stonewall Jackson's wife. Abley reads from a recipe for buckwheat cakes.
It requires 1 quart of flour, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 pint of milk.
The recipe is credited to one Aunt Amy. Aunt Amy was a slave.
Amy was an elderly woman, which she was described as elderly, but just in her 40s, and she was the cook here in the house.
Aunt Amy was one of six slaves in the Jackson household. It also included Hetty, George, Cyrus, Albert, and Emma. And for most of the museum's history, these people were relegated more or less to prop status in the house. But anymore, visitors to the museum have a recurring inquiry.
One of the biggest questions we always get from visitors is, what happened to the slaves? I hear it more and more. People want to know what happened. They want to hear those stories.
Abley and historian Larry Spurgeon have tracked down documents that reveal a little bit more about the lives of these people.
We knew virtually nothing about them after the war.
What they uncovered is a document showing that Hetty and her two sons, George and Cyrus, originally belonged to the family of Mrs. Jackson in North Carolina. The three moved into the Lexington household as part of Anna's wedding dowry to Jackson.
And George and Cyrus would have done a lot of the heavy work around the house, chopping wood, bringing water. Hetty would have been more of a maid in the house.
Emma was an orphaned four-year-old when she was purchased.
She actually was purchased with the intention to be trained and raised to be a personal attendant to Anna.
Little is known about Albert after the war, except they think he earned his freedom, then disappeared.
The next thing we know is when Jackson died, Albert is not listed on his estate with the other slaves, which indicates that they considered him to be free. But that's all we know. We don't have any record of Albert after that at all.
Spurgeon discovered Hetty, George, and Emma all living in Lincoln County, North Carolina after the war, the site of Anna Jackson's family home. The three of them took Jackson's last name, which was a common practice back then. Spurgeon and Abley visited the cemetery where George was buried.
It was very moving. We're standing over the grave of a 74-year-old man who was a prominent member of his community. And we found that George was on a school committee there for an African-American school. And we knew that Jackson's taught them to read, which was dicey under Virginia law. We saw the legacy of that.
Spurgeon even tracked down George's obituary.
George Jackson, colored, died last week at his home in East Lincoln. He was one of the few remaining ex-slaves of this section. He was proud to tell that he had been the servant of Stonewall Jackson.
Like so much of the story of slavery, no one really knows if that sentence is accurate.
So much of this is the interpretation of other people who are speaking for them. That's the closest thing we have in his voice. That's the closest thing, and it's still filtered.
The museum is currently undergoing a $700,000 expansion. It'll provide more room to display the new research and expand the stories about Jackson's slaves. And Spurgeon will be giving a talk about Amy, Hetty, George, Cyrus, Albert, and Emma during the Jackson House Biennial Symposium on June 9th. From Lexington, I'm Jesse Nadler.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.